It's getting that time of year now as fall is upon us here, and that means fall sports are into the heart of their conference season. We got a lot to talk about here as we welcome you to the Kicking It With The Colonels podcast. Wes and KJ here with you, sponsored by UK Sports Medicine. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the happenings right now around EKU athletics, and then we've got a really special guest joining us here in just a little bit. Kendall Muir, the assistant coach and recruiting coordinator for EKU Volleyball, is on the show today. KJ, before we get to all that, let's talk about some of the things that's going on around EKU right now. Soccer. Man, they may be the hottest team of any team on campus right now. They're coming off a really impressive win against Bellarmine.
Yeah, absolutely. A dominant 5-1 win against Bellarmine, and they go on to play them again right around. So it's very impressive just to have. First off, they're still undefeated at home, so that's all in itself impressive. And then coming out on top this first game against Bellarmine and coming out with a dominant win is impressive, because it's like, usually it's, okay, you're tied the first game or whatever, and then the second game you come out dominant. So just really setting that standard ahead is great.
Yeah, 14-match unbeaten streak for EKU soccer on their home field. They've got, I mean, the number is astronomically high. It's in the 30s of consecutive points that they've got on their home pitch. It's really insane how they play on their home field. You mentioned the 5-1 win. You got goals from Maddie Murphy, Sydney Taylor, Rachel Pfeiffer, Lauren Link, and Avery May, all in that game. And kind of the interesting part about it, and you can speak on a little bit about this, is when you have a doubleheader, you may have one game that's a 10-0 game. That usually means the next game is going to be a 3-2, 2-1.
Yeah.
So I think EKU is going into that match thinking that this game on Sunday against Bellarmine, round two, is going to be a lot different.
Yeah. Almost always you have doubleheaders where it's like one team comes in expecting to win, and then they get really complacent and comfortable, and that's something that EKU has to really make sure they fight against this next game for sure.
And they're up to 38th in the RPI poll, which is really good, too. So they started the year at 32, dropped a little bit, and now they're back at 38. So they're right there.
Yeah.
For a mid-major to be top 50, it's really impressive.
Absolutely, yeah.
So next game is set against Bellarmine on Sunday in Louisville. They are having their best year since joining Division I, so it is going to be a challenge. You got on the road at North Alabama and Central Arkansas lurking as well. They're 8-2-3 overall, tied for the second most overall wins in the A-Sun. And in a division where you don't play the other team until the tournament,
you've
got the gold and the graphite, EKU and the gold, you'll play the graphite in the postseason. It's they're fighting for those top two seeds to host. You obviously love a regular season title like you all had here over the years, but you definitely want to be in a spot to have a home game in the postseason. That just means so much.
I mean, you see how well they perform at home. It would only make sense to earn that host so they can come back and continue to play well at home.
Lipscomb has 15 points, EKU in second with 10, and one will play four in the graphite division. You go 2 versus 3 in the others, so it should be fun to see how soccer plays out. Mm-hmm. Going on to cross country now. Cross country just wrapping up a weekend in Louisville, finishing second in those races. Justine Kipkowicz finishing third in the 8K with a really impressive time as well. And those A-Sun awards going all the way to the Colonels.
I mean, they should just name it the EKU awards at
Why
this
not?
Point.
Why not?
This is the second sweep in 2 weeks for cross country. I mean, we're a cross country school. I say that as a softball player. So makes the other teams really have to step up their game for sure.
What about some of those awards that were won this past week? Just being able to name some of those and to talk about their accomplishments.
Yeah, I mean, first, obviously, we have Justine Kipkowicz. You know, he was hurt at the end of last year, so it's nice seeing him get back. He won Runner of the Week. And then we have James Indashime, who won the Men's Freshman of the Week. And then we have a clean sweep on the women's side with Matrine Serum. She won the Women's Runner and the Freshman of the Week. She ran a 17-minute, 30-second 5K. I'm actually running a 5K at the end of the month, so I'm going to see how I compare to those numbers. So
that's your goal, right?
Yeah. Like, I got at least 17:29 in my, like, legs. I have it for sure.
Well, as you mentioned, it was the second week in a row, and I like what Matrine did there. If you're going to win, just go big. Just take them all. Yeah. Just take them all. Take the runner of the week and the freshman of the week in the conference as well. Well, the cross country will be in action again on October 17th in Madison, Wisconsin. Going on to football now, they're coming off a bye week. They beat Nichols 2 weeks ago, 27-7 here behind us at Roy Kidd Stadium. Mm. Pushed their home winning streak to 9 in a row. It's sixth longest in FCS football. Scored the final 27 points in that game. And have you ever been a part of, I know, I'm sure you have, but just where one team jumps out early and then the rest of the game is just dictated by the other team?
Yeah.
That's kind of how it was 2 weeks ago with Nichols and EKU.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually for us, it's on the flip side. Like, we'll jump out early and we'll kind of just mellow out. So it's good to see EKU not let that head start kind of affect them and, like, just come back with some explosiveness for sure.
They shut out the other Colonels for the final 58 minutes of the game. All right, I got some trivia for you. You ready?
Okay.
All right, so there are 129 teams in FCS football. There are 79 standalone mascot names. They're very unique. Only one school uses them. There are 15 schools that have the mascots twice or more.
Okay.
What do you think is the most common mascot used? And the reason I mention that is because one of the 15 is the Colonels,
the Colonels, of course,
with EKU and Nichols. They're the only two Division I teams to have that mascot name.
Yes.
So what is the most common in FCS play, which is basically mid-majors?
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think I'm going to go with, let's do Eagles.
Eagles
is pretty
in
common.
The top five, but it's not number one.
So that's not terrible.
Not terrible.
Okay.
You're in the ballpark. You hit a double instead of a triple.
Oh my gosh, I'm so bad with mascots. Okay, I'm gonna do. Is it some sort of animal?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do a bulldog.
You got it. You got it. They are the most common with 9 schools using the Bulldog mascot in FCS. Man, that was impressive. That was awesome. So the Colonels got a big game from Brady Hensley, his first career 100-yard rushing game in that win. We'll see what kind of role he plays in a very pivotal game for the Colonels here on Saturday. They play Austin Peay, number 15, in one of the polls, 6 o'clock. Need to come out to Roy Kidd Stadium, be loud, be proud. And last two games in that series have each gone to overtime.
Yes.
So stay for the duration. Don't leave early. You may regret it. Need a big crowd there for Hall of Fame weekend as well. And I want to throw in real quick, softball is playing their fall schedule right now. You guys just beat UK.
Tell us
about that.
We did beat UK. It was a great win. Like, it wasn't close. That was, I think, was the most impressive part. It wasn't a 1-point win. Usually when we play UK, it's, you know, a 1-point, 2-point win with UK, obviously. But this year we beat them 6-2 if you didn't count the last inning, but since it's fall, we played it all the way through. We ended up going 8-2. We actually had a lot of newcomers step up in that game, which was the most impressive. So we had Vanessa, who's new. She hit a home run in the last inning. We had KK. She's not new, but she's not really familiar to the starting role. So her coming in, and she started the scoring actually with the game turning home run. So just seeing these newcomers step up in a role that they haven't been in before is really impressive. So I'm really excited to see what we can bring.
And somebody else hit a home run, you were telling me.
Yeah. This one girl, her name's Kennedy. She's the host of KU Sports.
Also had just a little 3-run
shot. Yeah.
Nothing major. All right. Well, going on into volleyball, and that'll lead us to our conversation with Kendall. Coming off a loss to Lipscomb 3-0 in their game on Saturday, but that game, all three sets were decided by 2 points.
Yeah.
So really, they were 2 or 3 plays away from sweeping Lipscomb.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way.
Yeah.
I know a loss still stings, but you were right there.
Yes. I mean, you look at the record and you see 3-0 and you expect it to just be this like blowout win, but no, each set was just that close. So it's going to be on volleyball to really improve that finishing aspect and just putting in just a little bit more effort to get those last couple of points for sure.
Yorktown, Indiana native Emily Hill had a team high of 15 kills. You'll hear from another Yorktown, Indiana native here in just a little bit. A big weekend for EKU volleyball as they take on Queens Friday at 6 o'clock, then followed by West Georgia at noon. They've already played two teams that were selected ahead of them in the preseason poll in FGCU and Lipscomb. So the Colonels will try to get some wins under their belt as they go into conference play, as they head back into conference play. So it should be a really good opportunity for EKU to get a couple more wins, and we'll see if they are able to do that. And now we will turn it over to our conversation with Kendall.
She is one of the main reasons behind the success of the EKU volleyball program here over the last couple of years. Assistant coach Kendall Murr joining us here on the podcast. Kendall, welcome.
Hello. Thank you guys for having me.
All right. So KJ's got some rapid fire for you to welcome you to the hot seat. You're in the hot seat now.
Yeah, absolutely. New tradition we're doing here. We have a this or that sponsored by UK Sports Medicine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you 10 rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Just answer it to the best of your ability.
Do you want any explanations or just fast?
Just fast, rapid fire, whatever you think of. Okay. First one, dogs or cats?
Dogs.
Coffee or energy drink?
But depending on what time of the day. Sorry.
Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Stay up late or wake up early?
Wake up early.
Morning workout or evening workout?
Morning workout.
Front row or back row?
Front row.
Blocking or digging?
Digging.
Winning ace or game saving dig?
Ooh, winning ace. That was more fun.
Okay. Spandex or leggings?
Leggings.
And then OSTC or AC?
AC.
There we go.
All right. Well, now you're warmed up.
I'm good. I'm ready.
All right. Well, this is your fifth year here now at EKU. It's hard to believe, but the time just flies. Does it feel like it's been 5 years for you?
Absolutely not. It's been the best 5 years, but it's also felt like the longest 5 years, but a really short 5 years too. So it's been awesome.
Now, you had a year as a GA before coming over to being a full-time assistant. Well, how did those roles change for you being the GA and then leading up to being an assistant now?
Yeah, a lot has changed, but also nothing. Like as a GA, I still had a lot of responsibility. Jonna let me have the ropes with a lot of things, which prepared me for the role I'm in now. And obviously, I've grown just more confident in my coaching and just in my leadership. So that's changed a little bit. But luckily, I've just got to be me the whole time. And yeah, it's been good.
Now, you had a great playing career, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Did you always know you wanted to be a coach after that wrapped up?
No. And it's so funny to talk about because it's like, maybe you shouldn't say that, but like, it's just part of my story. It's like, I did not know I always wanted to be a coach. I just kind of fell into this GA role. I think Jonna sent out a mass email to like coaches and was like, does anyone have a player that wants to get into coaching? And I was like, well, I know I want my grad school to do grad school, and I didn't have a plan yet. So I was like, let me jump into this. I'm not ready to let go of volleyball. And it's like, I always thought, what crazy would want their job to be dictated by 18 to 22 year old girls? It has turned into the biggest surprise and like the biggest blessing. So no, I did not always want to coach at all, but here I am 5 years later.
Here you are, five, still going strong.
Yeah. And what does that look like going from that player role just to the coaching role?
Yeah. It's been really special. I miss it a lot. Like I miss being on the playing side and being in it. Us coaches joke all the time, like, just let us in there. Like, just let us get at it. But it's been so cool to like see volleyball and the things they're going through and the things they're struggling with or being successful with through their eyes and like from behind them instead of in the moment. So I've loved this side of it. It's been so great for me, and just changing my view of volleyball, even though I already always loved the sport, it's made me fall in love with it in a different way. So
that's good.
Yeah.
What's it like working with Jonna?
The best. It's so funny because we joke, it's like, yeah, she's my boss, but she's also like my best friend. And it's You don't see that often of like having that relationship with the people you work with. But I think that's what makes our program successful. I think that what makes us work so well together and our staff work together is her and I could spend every living second together. And we do because we're here all the time. But it's like we're also doing stuff outside of work constantly. And it just makes it so much more fun. You enjoy what you do with the people you do it with. And so I love working with her and I'm so thankful for her. So
in addition to your many roles that you have, you also have the hat of recruiting coordinator.
Yes.
So how has that changed with how college athletics has changed?
Yeah, which I just took on this role. So I'm still learning, but I would say it's challenging me because I'm more of like in the gym. I wanted to teach. I want to learn. I want to watch you play volleyball. And now it's like, oh, I gotta go find players, which has been really fun too. It's like, wow, I get to, obviously we all of us staff pick, but handpick the girls that are gonna be in this program next and like make it who it is to be. So I think that's been the coolest part of it. But yes, it's changed so much. It's just like now it's happening a lot later, but I feel like you gotta have a jump on it. And if you don't have your list ready by June 15th, at 8 a.m., whenever you send out your texts or calls, it's like you're already behind. So it just takes a lot of planning and prepping. And that's changed a lot too, just from when I was getting recruited. But yeah, it's been challenging for me. It's been really challenging.
You know about that.
Yeah.
Student athlete has.
Yeah, absolutely. So in softball, like the transfer portal has been a big thing recently. How has it affected volleyball?
Big thing. And we luckily have been blessed in our program with so many good transfers and we've like used it to make us better. But yes, the transfer portal constantly, obviously we love retention. And I think that's also a great thing about our program is we do keep a lot of girls here and we want to develop them over 4 years. But there is times where maybe someone left or someone went to go pursue another school or another program. And we've had to dip into that. And it's kind of the same. But yeah, we have to use it. But it's challenging because these girls are at a whole nother phase of their life that they were at when they're 16. So I kind of like it a lot more because I can relate a lot more to these transfers and like they've lived a lot more life. And so, yeah, we've used it a lot and it's been great. We've had a lot of good transfers on our team.
Take us behind the scenes as much as you can. I know you don't want to share all your secrets, but when a player comes in via the transfer portal, you have a couple on this team this year. Is it tailored to each player, or what does a coach do when you're interested in a transfer from another school?
Yeah, obviously, first and foremost, hop on the phone. Well, we got to see if they're good at volleyball. See if they're good at volleyball. If they're good at volleyball, hop on the phone. Yeah. From there, will this girl fit well into our program? Are they a good person? And I think why we are successful and we have a great group of girls is because we recruit that. And yes, you can be really good at volleyball, but if you don't fit our program and you don't fit up our standards and what we're about, then it might ruin the whole team and it could ruin the whole program of everything that we've built. So it's so important to see if you're a good person. Do we like you? But no, I mean, it's like an interview. Like, it's like a job interview. And what are your goals? Like, do you have goals to make a program better? Or are you just kind of here just to say you want to play volleyball? So it is, it's a lot to come through. And it's like, you got to get to know them deep down and what they're about. And then it's like, okay, volleyball. Back to volleyball. Yeah. So.
What about this staff? You've got a couple of newbies on the staff this year, but it seems like everybody, just in years past too, is everybody has just gelled together.
Yes, yes, yes. And it just shows with how great Jonna picks out people who are going to better our program. And we are an all-female staff, which is so great. And I love that because I think we just relate so well. And also a big selling point for us with recruits is we're so young. If you look at it, like, we are a really young staff and we sell it as like we were just in y'all's shoes. Like, we can relate to everything you guys are going through. We've kind of seen the new side of athletics that is kind of molding into, and we want to help you, we want to develop you, and we can do that at the young age that we are. And I just think when, like I said with Jonna, when you love the people you work with, like your product and your demeanor and your attitude is so much better and it makes life so much easier. So Ashlyn and Macy and our grad manager Campbell, like, we're all still friends. Like, we're all still great friends, and we're not just coworkers. Like, I hate the label coworkers. We live life together every single day, and I think it shows in kind of how we coach and how we've built our program.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important. My coaching staff, you know, our head coach is a little bit older, but for the rest of them, they're all pretty young. So it's definitely you get to ask them about the mental side of it, not just the physical side of it. And I think that's really beneficial for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think Jane recognized your TikTok thing the other day, by the way.
That was funny. I watched that. That was a hoot.
Did you ever tell her after the fact?
Yes. Yeah, so she asked you, she was like, did somebody dare you to do that?
Yeah. It was a prank.
No, it's a TikTok.
Yeah. You've been punked or something? Yeah. Go on a TV show.
It's so funny.
What about this team? Speak a little bit about this team. Of the ones you've been a part of as a player and as a coach now, what sets this team apart from others that you've been on?
The way they love each other. And I know that sounds so silly. These girls love each other. Like, if it's so great, they play harder for each other. And we joke. We're like, y'all, it's okay not to be mean to each other, but hold each other to a standard. Like, y'all can yell and expect more from each other, but also be each other's best friends. And they truly just want to be together all the time. They are always lifting each other up, and just, they're such a special group, and we're just so thankful for a good group. But
and in your time here, you've had some foundational players too, and I use that term, and I think you know what I mean.
Yep.
It is, you've got AG,
yeah,
Carson, Emily, you know, go back on other teams, Josie,
yep,
Sarah Mitchell.
Yeah.
When you have those type of players, what does it mean to a program like that?
Oh my gosh, everything. And it's so funny because just thinking about it, like, for those foundational players, always for all of them, we want it so bad for them too. Like, they have just poured their heart and soul into this program, bettering this program, leading this program, and they are the reason why this program is where it is right now. And it just, I don't know, I just love having them around, and they're just such good kids that it's like so special to have kids like that who are great people, but also great at volleyball and just build something that we can help them build.
How many of those former players do you still keep in contact with?
All of them.
All of them.
I mean, my girl Josie, and I mean, I've seen Sarah everywhere, and Sarah and I are always talking. So, when they're with us, they are with us for a lifetime. So
is there a player in your time here being a coach that reminds you of yourself as a player?
I have two in mind, kind of. Obviously, Josie Schwendorf, who I just like fell in love with, and she's, I hate to say it, one of my favorite players ever. I don't know if we're supposed to have favorites.
Cut that out.
I can say that now that she's gone. She knows it. But I love that girl. And I could relate to her a lot because we were the same position, and I feel like we were going through the same things and the same frustrations, and she was just walking through what I walked through, and she had a lot of success, and I related to her a lot because just I spent a lot of time with her. And then Emily Hill is also from my hometown, and we played for the same high school and the same club, so we play the same. Like, we've got the same competitive mindset, we've got the same intensity, the same kind of standards. So I relate to her in that way, but I've always drawn towards Josie too. Yeah.
If my coach ever came on a podcast saying that somebody was her favorite player, I would not see them.
It's so funny. Well, she's I could say it because she's gone. Yeah, I never said it when she was here, but
it's funny. Yeah.
What's something that you learned as a coach that you wish you knew as a player?
Ooh, good question. Okay. That it's going to be okay. It's literally going to be okay. Like, you shank a ball.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like, even it's just like, you have a bad practice. It's like, I'm telling you as a coach, I'm thinking about that for maybe 10 minutes after, like, wow, she was terrible today. That girl will go home. I went home and thought about it for probably 3 days later. And my coach didn't even remember I had a match. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, obviously, everything's very important, but, like, just to let it go. Like, I think I see our athletes doing it now, and I did it. It's like you just hyperfixate on just so much bad that you forget all the good that you did. And I wish I knew that more.
What's that strive for perfection? I think a lot of college athletes, even, you know, people in the broadcasting industry strive for that. So
yeah.
I think that's just kind of the mindset of everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Level.
Yeah. Oh, our girls want to be perfect. It's so funny. We have so many conversations with the girls. Like, you don't have to be perfect. Honestly, you're not going to be perfect. Like, we, and when we look at stats and stuff and we look at like our percentage goals we're trying to meet, our sought out percentage goal is 60%. Do they know what that is? That's like a D. Like, that is literally, you're not going to be perfect. And volleyball is a really hard game, along with every other sport and every other thing we do in life, that perfection's not really a thing. So get over that and then we'll be okay.
Talk about your playing career now. You had a great career at Mississippi State.
Yeah. And
I keep forgetting you were spent a year at Jackson.
I did.
I keep forgetting that.
Go with.
What stands out the most about your playing career?
Oh, goodness. Just the opportunities I got to have. Like, I was led and surrounded by so many good people that have, like, made me into the coach I am now and the player I was. And, yeah, so even it dates back to high school. Like, I just think of all the people that molded me into this person. And it's, like, that was my whole life. And I hate to say it, but it was, like, my whole life. And spending all that time around amazing coaches, amazing leaders, amazing players has made me who I am. And I got to experience a lot of life from growing up in a really good high school, playing for a really prominent club, and then going to a great ASUN school. And we had great success there. And then we had so much success that my head coach got another job and I got to experience SEC. So, like, it's just been so crazy, the walks of life and the chapters of life I've been to just because of this sport. And It's been really special.
Yeah, I know your focus right now is on Queens and West Georgia. Yes. You have Jacksonville looming here in the next week and a half.
Yes.
What's it like to go back there as a coach now?
Literally my heart. My heart, it is. Like, this is so silly. I just get so emotional every time because it started it all. Like, it literally started it all. And I remember the first time we beat Jacksonville, like my GA year. I had texted my head coach and one of the girls I transferred with, and I was like, we just swept JU, like, fins up, like, just being silly. It was, like, so cool that was, like, our first ASUN conference win. But when I go back, it's, like, the best. I love that school so much. And it really, like, was your freshman year is so just developmental. Like, it's, like, it just sets the stage for everything. And so I love going back there. I literally would love to move back to Jacksonville. Who doesn't want to live on the beach and go to school in Florida? But it's, like, one of my favorite trips, and I get really upset when we don't get to go there on the road because it's such a fun trip and such a good city, and I love that school.
And not every corps gets to play the other division.
No.
We don't get to.
I have never played Jacksonville in my life.
Which is crazy.
Insane.
Which is crazy just the way it is. There's so much history there. And you look at that gym that they've got at Gifford, there's so much history, and it's a really cool city, and that's where the conference is now. So there's a lot of history in that. And when you look back at some of your games, is there a match, a play, a set that stands out to the most to you that, like, this one sticks out most?
In my college career?
In your college career, yeah.
Yeah. It was... So, obviously, I made the jump to Mississippi State, and then we had our first SEC conference game, and this was, like, a whole new world to me. Like, I was just living in the ASUN, and then, like, oh, wow, these girls are really good at volleyball. It's like, oh, we're playing some really good people. And we went down. It was our first SEC conference game. We went down 0-2 to Auburn at home, and then we reverse swept them. And, like, it was just, like, it's always been just the most special memory of, like, my playing career, because it was the first one, and I'm like, wow, like, I do belong here. Like, wow, I can be play with the big dogs. And, yeah, I'll never forget that one. And my best friend played – my best friend growing up was the libero on Auburn, so it was, like, nice to be here, too.
Sweet.
Another full circle moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You said earlier, I was going to talk about your upbringing there from Yorktown. So my hometown is Emily.
Yeah.
Obviously. And they are huge for volleyball.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's insane. What's it like to experience that firsthand? And did you kind of grow up being in a volleyball arena?
Oh, yeah. So my mom played college volleyball at Ball State University. So it was in my blood. And then... obviously, we just got put into the gym. My mom helped coach at Yorktown High School for a long time. So we every day after school, we were in the gym with them watching practice. And then, you start playing volleyball in that town when you're young, like when you're like 8 years old. So you just kind of, that's all you know. And it's so funny because it wasn't foreign to me. Like, it's foreign to me when I go to a city and I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you're not playing club volleyball. Like, that's just so, that's so crazy. So yeah, it was awesome. And then I would just, got developed by the best high school coach, I would argue, in the country. Shout out Coach Bloom. But she just puts an emphasis on hard work, discipline, standards, and she believes what she believes. And she molds great volleyball players. I think literally my junior year and senior year, we had 7 D1 volleyball players on our team, and we all went to go be liberos, like we call it, Libero University. Like, it's just, she just trains and breeds ball control kids. And that's just so rare nowadays, I feel like. And when you get someone that can develop you as a player and a person, I think it's so special. And she's just been a huge role model for me about the coach I want to be. So yes, Yorktown is where it's at with volleyball. And my sister obviously played, and we both went on to play in college. So it's in the family.
And Texas girl over here, I'm sure you all could compare some stories, just how different it is.
Very, yeah. In Texas, I had kind of the same kind of coach, but mine was actually the assistant coach.
Cool.
So the assistant coach was the one that like raised us all up.
Yeah.
But is there something that you take from Yorktown and just like apply it every day into your life?
Oh yeah, the discipline. I think like she just installed discipline in a, like, you have standards for yourself every single day, and she just bred leadership. Like, you were going to be a leader no matter if you were sitting on the end of the bench or you were the starting setter. Like, you will show leadership. You will show what this program is about. And when you wear it on your chest, or whatever you're wearing on your chest, or whoever you're representing, whether that's your family, your job, anything, like, you're going to do it to your best ability and make that proud. So I take that with me a lot. So yeah.
Outside of volleyball, what's the best thing in Yorktown?
There's not much. Pizza King. It's a little pizza place in Indiana, but everyone's like, it's just pizza. No, it's not. It's different. So there's a great restaurant called Pizza King, and Munsiana's there in my backyard.
Yeah.
More volleyball.
So you started at a young age. Everything is going good. Get that college scholarship to play at Jacksonville, on up to Mississippi State. Then you tear your Achilles.
Yeah.
Take us. What was that year like for you?
Tough. Oh, my God. Flip my world upside down. Like I said, I finally felt like I got on my feet my sophomore year. Like, we weren't the best program, but it was, we knew we were in a rebuilding year, and we were building that program to what it is now. And it's so cool to see how great they are now. But my junior year, I'm like ready to gear up. I'm like, this is going to be my year. Like, I really have goals for myself. I want to be this libero that I can be for the team. And 2 days before like preseason started, like the last 2 days of summer conditioning, we were just running sprints, and I went to cut, and I just snapped, and it just fell, and it's everything people describe it as, like the loudest pop, you hear a gunshot, and like it killed me. Like, it was like, oh my gosh, like my world is so different. And I think it was a great reminder of, you're not just playing volleyball. you are living a life too. And I think that is what kind of started, like I said, I never wanted to coach, but like, that was the first time I got removed on the other side of the sport and got to see kind of what was going on, how to be a leader even when you're not in on the court. And yeah, it just changed my perspective of everything, of like, you're just not fully wrapped up into being the best volleyball player you can be. Like, there's so much more you can do. And yeah, it was really tough because it took me out for a long time. And it was like just crazy to even think about. I hate to even think about it. It's just like, it changed me for the better. Like, it truly made me into a leader that I don't think I could have been, that I am now without it. But yeah.
What was the rehab process like? And you're in that trying to get yourself better. Then you have to sit on the bench for a whole season and get a different view of things. What was that like?
It was hard because there's nothing more as an athlete that you want than to be out on the court and to be making a difference. And like, you feel like your coach, you just feel like you're letting everyone down when that's not it at all. Like, I want to be, want to make the team better. I want to make my coaches happy. I want people to see that I can play volleyball. And it's not even about that. Like, it's just, you got to make it what you did. And I told myself, you can sit here and feel bad for yourself, or you can sit here and make the best out of it. And so I sat there and made the best out of it. How can I still be a good teammate? How can I still be a good captain? How can I still learn volleyball just from another side? And I think it made me mature a lot, because it made me think outside the box. And I'm not just in this box of, I have to play volleyball every day. So it was really cool, but it was not cool at the same time.
Like you said, it really shaped you who
yeah,
you are now.
Yeah.
Take your coaching hat off for a moment.
Yep.
Take it off. What do you like to do outside of volleyball?
Oh, goodness. I love to work out. I love, shout out Edge Body Boot Camp. I love to work out. I love to go on walks, love to spend time with my friends and my people. And there's nothing more I love than going out to eat and trying new restaurants and just exploring. Not that I've explored Richmond. I've lived here for 5 years now, but what else? Like, just like Lexington and involved in just church stuff and just being in community. Like, you just have to surround yourself with good people to be a good person.
And you two may think I'm crazy, but we're on the road with our job and everything. Mm-hmm. We go to these different cities. There's nothing more satisfying than to me on a game day when you're in a new city that you don't know, getting up, not super early, but kind of early, and walking out of the hotel, just going on a walk.
Oh, yeah.
Just taking in the new site. I know that sounds really old. You may not agree, KJ, but to me, that there's nothing better than that.
You have to. And then go find another coffee shop, a new coffee shop on the way. Like,
or in your case, coffee and energy drink.
Exactly. Yeah. Coffee in the morning, energy drink before the game. You got to go get one. Get both. No, seriously. Like, it's crazy just how I don't even know if this is bad to say, but you just get bored on the road sometimes. It's like you're there to play the game, but you forget all the life that happens leading up till 7 p.m. Yeah. So it's like, how can I fill my day? And there's nothing better than exploring a new city. What are you going to do? Sit in a hotel room and watch TV? And yeah, that's great. But
that's exactly what I do, by the way. I sit in the hotel room and I watch TV.
It is good rest time. It is good rest time.
I can't.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Especially a tiny little hotel room. Yeah. No.
Well, before we spin the wheel here and let you go, there's a couple more questions I want to ask you about the team this year. You're now into the heart of the conference season. It's a very tough conference.
Yeah, like, yeah.
What's going to be the biggest key for EKU to try to finish this year strong and get to where you want to be?
One, I think believing in how good we can be. Like, we are a very good volleyball team. I think our girls got to believe it, and I need them to show it all the time. You know, it's just like, I think that's the hardest part of coaching too, is how can we get it out of them? Mm-hmm. But consistency, it's going to come down to not looking at the name across the net, about who we're playing, about worrying about us and how consistent can we be and be good for a full 75, to win the game. So just consistency and discipline.
Two-part question to wrap up. What was the experience like over the summer when you got to go overseas, and how did that impact the chemistry of the newcomers and everybody just gelling together?
Yes. I mean, that was a once in a lifetime kind of experience, and we are so thankful and blessed that we were able to do that, because not everyone gets to do that. And I think it was just so special for me to watch the girls go through that, because that's something I didn't get to do as a player either. But it fully changed the chemistry. I mean, when you're walking through the streets of Venice or just going down the slide in Slovenia, like, those are memories that they get to cling on to all the time. And 10 days is a long time. And spending a lot of time together on that plane is a long time. And so I just think it's so cool, because that's an experience that no one gets to take away from them. And that they just... It just gave us a jump start into this year of, like, we kicked off the year in such a cool way. It's like, okay, let's make this season what it can be, and let's take that as an advantage. And we got to see a different style of volleyball, but we also got to experience a lot of life together that not many people get to see. So I think it changed everything. I think it made it we obviously have a lot of young people playing with some older seniors, so it gave them so much time to bond and to get to know each other, and not just come in preseason and say, okay, in 2 weeks, let's figure it out. Instead, we got a lot of time. So
Who had the biggest suitcase on the flight?
Jonna Bazzani. who else? Literally. I'm like, y'all, I don't think we had any weight issues. I think we kind of scared the girls. Like, you can't go overweight or your suitcase isn't coming. But we have a lot of girls that value, which they get it from us coaching staff, a lot of cute outfits. They had to bring all the options of shoes and the cute outfits and the hair tools and the everything. I mean, we had to look our best. If we're going to go over there, we might as well take cute pictures, too. So,
absolutely. Gotta get
the outfits before we're wearing
the
volleyball.
Exactly. We had girls, we told them in the OSCC one day, I think like in February or March, like it was early. These girls are already buying things. I'm like, we're not leaving for like so long, but it's so funny how
that's
how,
terrific. Yeah. I'm glad you had a great time.
Oh,
you got
so
to
awesome.
Experience that.
Well, before we let you go, we gotta let you spin the wheel.
I'm scared
there.
Of this wheel.
And we'll see what we land on here.
Okay.
AJ, you got it?
That thing's surprisingly heavy. All right.
I'm just going for it.
Let's go for it.
Your go-to dance move.
You have to demonstrate, by the way.
Oh my goodness. I'm not in on the TikTok dances. But the girls have been doing this whole thing recently, where they're like doing this little thing. I'm making myself sound old. I know exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That was it, but I'm feel like I'm cutting myself short. I'm breaking the rules and going again. Favorite ice cream flavor.
This one's more kind of simpler.
I don't know what it's actually called, but like there's an ice cream place called Handles, and they have this thing called Graham Central Station. It's like graham crackers, like cookie butter ice cream. It's so good. So that is my favorite.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Kendall, we appreciate your time. It was great to chat with you. Best of luck the upcoming
Thank
year.
Thank you.
And best of luck this weekend against Queens in West Georgia.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Kendall Murs joining us here on the Kicking It with the Colonels podcast. Till next time, you've been listening and watching here, the official podcast of EKU Sports. Till next time, you've been kicking it with the Colonels.